Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, they were staying at a bed and breakfast, and she had a dream about a boy who needed help. Come to find out, the little boy asked a lot of people for help.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Sure is. So if you have a real ghost story, how about sharing it with us? If you want to call it in, it's 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Now, if you want an ad-free version of the show, you get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. You could sign up through Apple Podcasts or you can try it for 3 days free. Or go to patreon.com/realghoststories. Or you can go to ghostpodcast.com. And Kathy Gordon, how's it going there today?
Well, it's going well. It is going to be super hot today and not very fun outside. So it's a good day to be in here listening to you tell me ghost stories.
At least today we don't have a heat advisory here. So that's good. We've had a lot of that action lately.
We have. But I do think this possibility of rain, they said a thunderstorm this afternoon coming through, and then that puts the humidity up. And so
Here's the thing. I don't sleep well anyway because, let's face it, I just had a hip replacement. But my dog is so freaked out by storms. So last night, he was up until about 2 a.m. And if he's
He's really bad. Yeah.
I've never seen a dog like this. And if somebody has great suggestions, email me, Carol at Real Ghost. No, wait, what's my... Carol at realstorymedia.com. Just email me directly.
But I've tried SOS.
Please. I've tried the Thunder Shirt. Calming treats do nothing. I've tried calming chews. I think
I've used big ass drugs.
Yeah. I've tried the doggy Xanax. I've done all of the things I can think of. And even last night I split the doggy Xanax into halves because it didn't look like that bad of a storm. So I gave him a halfsie. And then I gave him about an hour and a half later, I gave him the rest of it. Nothing. It didn't even faze him.
And but it's I do have to say, when you give him a whole one, it's kind of cute.
I should have done that at one
because
time.
Because he is pretty high and it's kind of funny watching him.
Because he gets to this, like, I'm having a panic attack. Oh, look, a toy.
Yeah, exactly.
Then he brings you a toy.
Oh, let me lay my head on your shoulder and fall asleep.
For 1 minute. I'm going to wake up in a panic attack again. So I don't know.
He's adorable, though.
There's got to be somebody out there that has some kind of experience with this.
Help. That's right.
I don't know what to do. So neither of us really slept last night, although he gets the luxury of just laying around all day now, catching up on his sleep. But
exactly.
So let's go to a ghost story. And this one says about 6 years ago as a Christmas gift. Before I even start this story, I just want to say I don't like the idea of staying at a bed and breakfast.
Oh, I'm not good at bed and breakfast. Yeah. Now, I know people that love them. Don't get us wrong. Stay at them, enjoy them, own them, you know, be a bed and breakfast host, whatever. I just don't like the idea of being in somebody else's house where I have to like share a bathroom with people I don't know or get up in the morning and make small talk at the breakfast table. Yeah. It's just not me. This is not who I am, you know?
And I can also see how a lot of these would be just really haunted. We've got one here in town and it's this ginormous castle looking place. It used to be called Crumb Castle. And I toured it years ago, and it was just really falling apart. And they have spent, I don't know how much, it has to be in the millions, renovating this castle. But the woman who lived in there, her last name was Crumb, I think. She just lived in a couple rooms on the main floor. So we were going through kind of her area, and we happened to encounter her on our tour. And somebody asked her if the place was haunted, and she said, yes. And so that's the other thing, that a lot of these are old historic homes that I do think are haunted. So as is the case with this one. So it says that her in-laws gave them a gift certificate to stay at a beautiful historic bed and breakfast in Savannah, Georgia.
Savannah, Georgia is haunted.
That, yeah.
Yeah, like double haunted.
My husband and I had never been to Savannah before. And we were so excited to see what all the fuss was about. We couldn't wait to wander down the cobblestone streets draped with Spanish moss, eat amazing Southern cuisine, and go to all the antique shops. The bed and breakfast.
That does sound delightful.
Mm-hmm. The bed and breakfast was just beautiful. Every room was appointed perfectly. The innkeeper was so kind. And we were within fingers' reach of house wine and cookies. After a long day of sightseeing and spa treatments, my husband and I crawled into our comfy feather bed for a much-needed night's rest. I fell into a deep sleep and didn't move that entire night until we rose the next morning. When I woke up crying. It's important to note that I am not an overly emotional person. In fact, if you know me, you know that I hate to cry. When I cry, I get migraine-like headaches that last for days. So I will go to great lengths to avoid crying at all. So completely out of my control, I literally woke up crying. My husband was quite startled by this, as he knows I am not a crier, let alone a sleep crier. He immediately reached for me, very concerned, and asked me what was wrong, and I couldn't stop crying, and I just said, I had the most horrible dream. I am so upset. I'm just so upset. I had the most overwhelming feeling of despair, pity, and helplessness that I just lay in bed in his arms until I cried out all of my tears. When I was finally calm and able to speak, I told him what I had dreamt. I dreamt that I was walking through a wooded area. I came upon a little boy about 6 or 7, and I knew that I had to help him. I had to keep him safe from his mother. I had to hide him and get him to a safe place. That was it. No disturbing imagery, nothing bad actually happened. I just awoke from this dream, feeling drained and in despair. Although I was no longer crying, I was very solemn. We got up, got ready for the day in silence, and made our way to the proprietor's breakfast. We had homemade scones, rich coffee, and fresh fruit. Everything was beautiful and charming. My spirits were beginning to lift, and we started to chat up with the innkeeper about this and that and how long she'd owned the house. Did she know about the history of the house? And of course, were there any resident ghosts? She took in a big breath and said, oh, yes, we have had several spirits here. We inquired about them enthusiastically, and she told us about the Victorian lady who was seen in the front window and the man who checks on the guests in rooms such and such. And then she paused and said, now, which room were y'all in? Oh, you have the little boy. He doesn't appear to guests in waking hours, though. He comes to certain female guests in their dreams. I dropped my fork and my smile melted into a look of stone-cold dismay. My husband and I made shifty eyes at each other across the table and back to the innkeeper. She calmly informed us that around the turn of last century, the woman who lived in that house took her young son out to a creek in the woods and let him drown and die. Oh my God. Ever since, any woman who is a mother or is of a helping occupation, nurse, teacher, psychologist, etc., who stays in that room will dream of him asking for their help to keep him safe. I wanted to cry all over again. I'm not a mother, but I have a background in psychology. I love children, and I'm definitely inclined to help those in need. We left that day back to Atlanta. It was a quiet ride back to the city. My husband and I had no idea what to say to each other about what had happened. We've been back to Savannah several times, but have never returned to that house. I do not feel that I'm properly equipped to help that little boy, and fear that getting too close to that realm might be harmful within this realm. My husband and I have prayed for him, though. Perhaps your listeners could also pray for him. That's really interesting. Do you think that is a situation that he is a ghost appearing to them, or is it just like somehow that story makes its way through and that feeling of helping the little boy? Because I just hate the idea of this 5 or 6 year old boy trapped in some weird help me, help me, help me thing.
I hate to say this, but I think it's him asking for help and not just a story that they're, you know, getting through into a dream. I think he's really coming to these people.
What the hell with a mom doing that to her poor son? You know, he was just innocent.
I can't explain it. Of course, there's all sorts of different things, but I read about it all the time. Mothers doing things,
I know.
this week I read a couple stories about it, and I don't know whether it's a mental illness, whether they're going through postpartum, you know, things, whether
there's so many factors,
you know, yeah. they're despairing about how they're going to raise the child. I don't know. I do not know what would possess them to do this, you know, because you and I, in our, you know, more rational thoughts, say, well, just give the child up for adoption. Right. Like, why in the world would you kill them? You know, I have no idea what would lead this mother to do this. But apparently, you know, the woman who owns the B&B brought it up.
What if,
you know,
you took a combination of a ghostly dream residual haunting? So maybe it's not the little boy. It's some sort of residual thing that presents in people's dreams. I'm just trying to explain away how this little boy cannot be like just in this horrible place for all eternity.
I mean, it's possible. I can't help but in my heart think it is the little boy, yeah. though.
Breaks you my know, heart. Reaching out. In what
Because it's only reaching out to women that, you know.
And what could you even do to help? You know, like, how could you help him?
I don't know.
You would need someone with some abilities that you and I don't have.
Well, and I do think that it is interesting for her to say, you know, I can't go back there because I'm not sure I am in a place or I'm the person that can be safe doing this.
Yeah. And she said right? that too. And I like the way she said that. She said, I fear that getting too close to that realm might be harmful within this realm.
Yeah. I've had that feeling before.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that, where I've said, you know, I really feel like I had to leave that apartment that I lived in because it was getting too close.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I get that. Where you think, I don't know that this is healthy for me, that I can do this.
Right. Yeah. But I get why she doesn't want to stay there again.
Mm-hmm. It sounds delightful. I mean, like a beautiful place.
But no matter how delightful it is, what she's always going to remember is that dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Here's our next story. It says, I, like most people who have experienced activities that science can't explain, have a passion for the paranormal. I even ran my own group for 6 years. It began when I was very young. My mother, stepfather, and I lived in a home in North Muskegon, Michigan, that seemed to be very active. The things that I experienced in this home sparked my interest, but there were so many amazing happenings that it would take an entire show to cover them. The story that I want to share occurred 4 years later. I hope it qualifies as a ghost story. We had moved from the home and all paranormal activity had stopped. I was now 10, and in these 4 years, my mom had fallen into a bit of a wild phase, leaving me to stay with my grandparents around 95% of the time. My grandpa and I were the tightest. Over those years, I had no need to make friends. He was it. He was the only friend I needed. We did everything together. It was around this time that I started being shipped to stay with my father every other weekend. This was quite a shock to my little world. After all, I really didn't know this man at all. One of these weekends, unknown to me, my grandfather had scheduled a routine surgical procedure. He was in his 70s. At my father's, I was quite a night owl, staying up until all morning hours with my stepbrother. On this particular night, though, I felt exhausted, drained, and crashing before midnight even hit. That's when the dream started. My grandfather was screaming, thrashing, and calling out to me. I jumped from my bed, tears streaming from my face. I cried out for my grandpa with every ounce of energy I could muster. I ran to my father's bedroom and insisted he call my grandfather so I could make sure he was okay. He was furious and blamed it on me being homesick. Being I was still reasonably new to the weekends at this man's home, I cried out for hours, but I'm sure it was only 20 minutes. I knew something was wrong. My gut was twisted. My head was ready to burst. I don't think I had ever cried so hard. My father forced me back to bed against my will all the way, and I finally cried myself to sleep. When I woke the next morning, I found my mother sitting in the living room. Now, to you, this may seem like nothing, but my parents were never in the same room. You and I can relate to that. That was our parents.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
We couldn't put them together.
Absolutely.
Even when she dropped me off, she never left the car. My mother was crying hard. I already knew what she was going to tell me. My grandfather's routine surgery had gone wrong, and he expired later that night. Last night. I remembered bursting into tears all over again and scolding my father, slapping him. I told you, you didn't let me see my grandpa. I remembered the look on his face. He was heartbroken and curious. I don't remember him asking my mother this question, but years later, he told me that he had. He asked her what time my grandfather had passed away. He was shocked to learn that my late night tantrum had happened within 20 minutes of his death. I harbored resentment, unknowingly, I think, toward my father for many, many years. Our relationship remained rocky, and I wouldn't say I liked the fact that I even had to see him. It wasn't until I was 23, after 5 years of not speaking to him, that we reconnected. That's when he told me what he had learned that day. He went so far as to tell me he believed I may have psychic abilities. I wish. He told me how jealous he was after the whole ordeal, saying it was that very moment that I knew he was your father, not me. I should have taken the time he did. I should have been there. This night was crazy. We were friends. We were close. He even told me that he planned on proposing to his girlfriend and asked if I would be his best man. Of course, I said yes. Sadly, he wouldn't make it through the month. He suffered a massive heart attack and passed away in his sleep. Still, that experience we shared impacted us and our relationship forever. That's from Jay. That is so intense. And I'm actually glad that he was able to reconnect with his dad and share that. And like his dad was able to ask him to be his best man. You know, that gives him at least, that's, I think that's incredible. I think that's as incredible as the other experience.
Yeah, but you know, I think something that's interesting in this is that the grandfather almost is the person, even though he had passed away long before this, was the person that ended up bringing them back closer together again. You know, in this kind of weird roundabout way.
But we've heard so many times of those stories, countless times, where people have had a loved one, or they woke up in the middle of the night, like, I have to talk to my mom. You know, we've just heard that over and over and over.
Yes, absolutely.
And something's wrong, and that overwhelming feeling. And I get where, you know, your 10-year-old son comes in, and it's like, you know, you have to take me to see my grandpa right now. And he's like, you're dreaming, you know, go back to sleep. That's what parents would do.
Well, and you would maybe think they're just homesick.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would, and also the father admitted that he was kind of jealous of the relationship that the grandfather had, you know.
And I'm kind of glad that he admitted that to his son, because that would give you some peace as well, you know, knowing that you're, you know, because you kind of are resentful for your dad. You don't want to go spend those weekends. They went 5 years without talking.
Yeah.
So,
but I'm so glad that they were able to talk, that really, you know, special conversation that they had, and kind of reconnect and start that healing process in their relationship because of this other thing that happened.
Well, I 100% believe that his grandfather came to him that night.
I do too.
And I'm really glad that because of that experience, it brought him and his dad back together. And that whole experience with his own father hopefully gives him some peace now that he's passed. Because you can't go back, you know?
That's right. Yeah.
Wow. That was crazy. So here's one more story. It says, I have two stories that I can say are unexplainable. However, I will share the one that has stuck with me to this day and has kept me very wary about shadows in the dark. I was in bed and was going to sleep like any normal night when something unexplainable happened. I cannot describe whether it was a dream or reality. However, it still gives me the creeps to this day. I kept waking up during the night, becoming very restless. And the last time I woke up, I was stuck to the bed, as if something was pushing me into the bed, paralyzing my whole body. I could feel my heart beating really fast as I was starting to panic and not being able to move whatsoever. I lay there on my back with my head facing the entirety of my bedroom when I saw this dark figure slowly creeping up over the end of my bed. It was as if it was slowly gliding over my bed, just about an inch over my bed cover, slowly moving towards me, getting closer and closer. The figure continued to move towards me. There was no face, just pure blackness. However, in that moment, until this day, I always had the sense that it was a woman. As the dark figure got up to my face, all that I can remember was panicking and being afraid of what was going on. I closed my eyes and must have fallen back asleep as I woke up the next morning. Till this day, I cannot figure out whether all of that was a dream or somehow real, as it was the most terrifying thing to ever happen to me, especially as it was unexplainable. I hope you guys may have an idea or some input as to what it could have been, as I know you have a few stories on your show before about shadow people. Just curious to have more insight about them, as I feel that they are quite possible and possibly an evil presence. I've not had any other occurrences since then. Thank you very much for allowing me to share my story. Carry on with the amazing work you do. I'm appreciative of all the entertainment you provide, Colin. You know, as far as shadow people go, definitely we've heard some really creepy, scary ass shadow people stories. But then like my own shadow person story was not really scary. I mean, it scared me because I saw this walk past me in the bathroom, but it felt like it wasn't about me. It was something just moved past me. You know what I mean? It wasn't like there to hurt me. It wasn't there to even interact with me.
Well, this seems like pretty classic sleep paralysis story.
And, you know, we've also talked about this, sleep paralysis, paranormal things. Could you have a little bit of both? The sleep paralysis invited in a shadow person.
You know, I always say that because this seems very classic. The you're in bed, cannot move. Mm-hmm. Something is terrifying you and there's nothing you can do about it. It's not uncommon for us to hear that people say it's a man or it's a woman. Right. Like they seem to know a gender for this thing and there's just nothing you can do about it. And then before something really horrible happens to you, it's gone. You black out. Like Colin said in this, I guess I went back to sleep.
Which I can't imagine.
It just quit. And I think your brain turns off. Like your brain Maybe protects you. You know, like your brain just closes it so that you don't have this anymore. I personally always think when it comes to sleep paralysis, it's a combination. Yeah, you might be asleep, but something is happening. It's too different than a dream.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a dream. There's something else going on here.
And that, it was very specific. The dark figure creeping up over the end of the bed and then coming up over the covers.
Right over the covers. Mm-hmm.
But the part that gets to me, because every time I've had sleep paralysis, I have forced myself to wake up. I'm laying there going, open your eyes, just open your eyes, move a finger, whatever you can do to snap out of this. Because I feel like I'm in this weird, intense trance almost.
Yeah, you can't do anything.
It's not sleep. I can't move. It feels like you're stuck to your bed. But I have forced myself to wake up. I can't imagine, because I've always felt like if I let myself go back to sleep, I'm going to fall deeper into that, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me that
it feels like Colin didn't have any choice.
Right.
Like something just quit. right? It wasn't like he thought, oh, I'll just go back to sleep and it'll all be great. He said, I guess I fell asleep because I don't know. I just don't remember anything after that. But I feel like, you know me, I think there's something paranormal that happens here. Because why is sleep paralysis always so scary? Why can't you have nice sleep paralysis?
And why would that happen to Colin one time and never happen again? That's weird, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's the thing. We can't answer that. That's something that people study.
they do, and it's truly happens.
Yeah.
Right? You know, they say, yes, this truly does happen to people. And, you know, most researchers will say, well, you know, it's just like a bad dream thing that you go into. But I think it's more than that.
I do, too.
I really do.
And I hope that's the only time Colin has any experience with it. And it's over. It's a one and done.
Yeah, I agree.
So if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. You can call it in at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like an ad-free version of the show with advanced episodes and access to the archive, then you could be a premium subscriber. Sign up through Apple Podcasts, try it 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.